Hey, this is Greg Hickman with Mobile Mixed, and you're listening to Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Crush, dude!
Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast, episode 41.
This is the place where successful entrepreneurs share their hustle to get where they are today. Discover how not taking no for an answer led them to achieve their goals. Learn about who inspired them and how they use marketing to crush it in their business. Get financial, spiritual, emotional, and physical tips that are working for them right now. This is the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Here's Fabienne Raphael.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Today, we have a straight-talking, super-rocking, and wise-cracking speaker and coach, Kristen Thompson. Kristen is the founder of SpeakServeGrow.com and creator of popular programs like Come in Any Room, Event Profit Machine, and the Rise Live Event. Kristen uses her own five-step speak-to-sell strategy. She went from unknown and broke baby mama with a limping business to being the go-to girl, generating multiple six figures, working 3 days a week. And her goal is to help you take your personality and your expertise and package it into a message and a business you love so you can serve more people and make lots of money doing it. Kristen, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. And whenever somebody introduces me and says making multiple six figures working 3 days a week, I want to go woohoo, because Yay. Sometimes I'm still shocked.
And you made it all possible.
Well, with lots of training and support and help along the way, but it is possible. And just knowing that blew my mind in the beginning. And now it's about helping other people see that possibility too. Mm-hmm.
So I remember I listened to you at Podcast Movement because you were a speaker there. Yes. And you actually explained how it came, like how this business idea came to you at the beginning. And there was something that happened in your life that really motivated you to make that work. So would you mind sharing that with our audience?
No, not at all. And it's a story that in the beginning I didn't share. And now I'm glad I am, because I feel like it helps people, A, understand why I'm so passionate, and B, hopefully help somebody have some hope for their own business if they're in a really stuck place. Because it wasn't that long ago that I really was broke. And I know that's like the oldest story in business stories, but it was really true. I was broke. For a lot of different reasons. So I had a very successful career in media sales and made a good living and worked in downtown Portland, and all that was great. But then my husband and I were getting ready to start a family, and we were really committed to this idea that I wouldn't be in the office downtown all day, every day, you know, that I would be home with our child at least part-time and work part-time. And, you know, I did at first look for part-time jobs. I don't know if I talked about this at Podcast Movement, but I did, and it was like, then I cried, because the part-time jobs that I found paid like $10 an hour or whatever. Wow. And I'm thinking, all right, there's no way, like, we're going to not be able to pay our mortgage and whatever. So I somehow found a position with a personal development company. It was really a fluke. I saw an ad that they were running online, and they were looking for someone to speak in Portland, and you didn't need to have speaking experience. And I had none. I'd never spoken to groups before. I'd never sold to groups before, but I obviously had sales experience. I could work from home without anybody looking over my shoulder. I had a lot of the skill set that they needed just from my sales background, but no speaking experience. So they trained me in how to speak and sell. And the idea was that I would give this one talk every day of the week and sell people into their workshops. And that's really how I began to learn this skill. But shortly thereafter, I found out I was pregnant, which was great news. And we were really excited, except that with that great news came some not so great news, which is that the doctor said that there was something really wrong with the fetus that was growing inside of me. And they literally turned to us in our first ultrasound and said, you should terminate this pregnancy and start over. Mm-hmm. And of course, I was, you don't know this yet. I was 37 years old. So I was older. I had had a really hard time in the beginning of the pregnancy. I was sick literally like all day and all night. So we had kind of been through a lot already. And the idea of like just starting over was not reasonable to us for tons and tons of reasons. So with a lot of prayer and a lot of thought, we went forward with the pregnancy. But what that meant was we had tons of tests, like ultrasounds and heart scans, and all this crazy stuff was happening throughout my pregnancy. And if you know anything about the United States and our medical system, you can probably also know, because I don't know, I'm sure your listeners are all over the world, but like we're adding up medical bills along the way. Is the real bottom line is we're going through this, and it's scary, but we're also racking up bills and bills and bills and bills and bills. And then my water broke really early, and I was put on bed rest in the hospital, and so I was stayed at the hospital for over a week. Cha-ching, right? Bills keep adding up. And so by the time we leave and our son is born and he gets out of the neonatal intensive care unit, we left with a perfectly healthy baby boy. That's the good news.
Yay.
And the not so great news is we had a huge stack of bills that we had been racking up along the way. Mm. And now I'm on maternity leave, except I was an independent contractor, which means I didn't get any pay for maternity leave. So now I'm not able to start paying the bills off, right? They're just sitting there and I'm not earning any income. And this was in 2008, rounding the bend toward 2009. And of course, here in the US, the economy was in like a complete downward spiral. It was like Murphy's Law happening. And my husband gets laid off because he was working for a small business that just could not stay afloat. And now we're up a creek without a paddle. Like we were really terrified. And if you know anything about successful people, a lot of us have had that moment. And unfortunately for a lot of people like me who are thick-headed, it takes a moment that dramatic to do something maybe way out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And what I did next was way out of my comfort zone, but was like a necessity, which is I went and I gave a talk. I took what I learned from the personal development company and I thought, I think I could do this on my own. And frankly, I have to, right? I have to figure out how to pay these bills. So I went and gave a talk just at a little networking group about 45 minutes from where I sit right now. And there was maybe 40 people in the room. We were in some restaurant and I gave a little talk about presentation skills and memorizing your presentations. And at the end, I just made a really simple offer for people to come back and learn more, like in a full day workshop. Mm-hmm. And of the 40 people in the room, 30 of them said yes.
Wow.
Now, I only charged $97, right? Like, I wasn't charging them a fortune to come back. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, I walked in completely broke, right, and freaking out. And then I literally leave with $3,000 in my hands. And while I've gone on to do talks that generate much more than that, at that time, and even still today, I'll take $3,000 in an hour. I mean, I won't say no to that. You know, that was like a really life transforming moment. So mm-hmm. I went on to perfect that strategy for my own business. And then after years of doing that, started teaching other business owners, well, how could you go stand up in front of groups big and small, you know, in your local market or out at big conferences like mm-hmm. Podcast Movement where we met, and really use that as a way to get visible and get leads and get clients.
So would you advise any entrepreneur to have that speaking as one of their marketing strategies?
Well, here's what I'll say. I don't think it's for everyone, Okay. But I think that it's for much more people than what people imagine. In other words, like, I didn't think I was a speaker. You know, people see me now and they're like, well, you were born a speaker. I was not born a speaker. I was born a girl. You know what I mean? I didn't have any natural talent. I did have willingness, but uh-huh. I was terrified. You know, I might have shared with you when we met that the first talk I ever gave was to 8 people, 8, like uh-huh. you could count it on your 2 hands. And I literally almost vomited on the table because I was so terrified.
Wow.
So I'm really trying to make sure that people understand that that is where I started, complete and utter terror, not like, oh, I know how to do this and I'm confident. That was not me. So if you have any inkling, like if you've ever even thought, I think maybe I could stand up at the front of the room and help people learn something or understand something, or if you've ever watched somebody else do it and you kind of get that tingle inside, like, that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. That's really all I had in the beginning, was like a tiny desire, and maybe a tiny piece of me thought maybe I could do it. But most of me thought all of this was insane. But the truth is, after that first talk that I gave for the personal development company to 8 people, and then that first talk I did when I was on my own to 40 people, in both cases, I walked out with leads and clients. And that was the thing. And even more than that, though, is like when the room laughs with you,
yeah,
and when they have an aha, or I meet someone cool like you, or someone learns something and they go try it and then they email you and go, oh my God, that worked. Like, that's as much fun as anything else.
Are you still stressed, though, before going on stage?
That's a great question. I still get nervous. I really do. I don't relate at all to people who are like, I never get nervous. And sometimes I meet those people and I'm like, you know what? Awesome for you. I'm kind of a spastic person, though. I'm very a little bit nervous and anxious by nature. So I still get nervous. I do believe, though, that you can learn to, instead of fearing that those nerves and thinking, oh, because I'm nervous, I should not do this. What I have done is trained myself to say, I'm going to use that energy to just kind of energize my performance, quote unquote. It's not the exact right word, but I'm going to just let that fear kind of energize me. And what I know is that usually within a few minutes of getting on stage, and this is true for most people, your nerves will calm down. So if you have a really good strategy for the beginning of your talk, which you always want to have, that really helps. And then one of the other tricks that I teach clients and that I have in my back pocket that I learned when I worked with that personal development company is you can memorize the outline of your talk. And I don't talk about this too often, but it's really important when you talk about being nervous. Like, what would be your number one fear if you had to stand up in front of 1,000 people or whatever would make you a little nervous? What's normally like the big fear people have when they stand up in front of a room?
Well, it's not saying anything, like having a blank.
Yes, exactly. You've just nailed it, right? It's like my mind's going to go blank.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a train wreck, which was absolutely my fear when I was going to go talk to those 8 people is like, what if nothing happens? You know what I mean? Like, what if I just stand there and go, because I can't think. Or just collapse on the floor or something.
Oh my God.
But so here's the thing is instead you can memorize, you don't need to memorize every word of your talk, but you can memorize the flow, what I like to call the roadmap. So imagine if you not only had a great talk built that you loved and you knew was going to serve the room and you had a great offer that you knew would help those people who do want to learn more. And then the last thing you had was that you memorized the roadmap of your talk so that you really would never get lost. You might not have the exact words phrased, you know, in the precise way you would want to, but if nothing else, you would know what you needed to talk about now and what you needed to talk about next. You would feel a lot more confident, and that's a tool I've really relied on.
And that's a great tool, actually. And you're right. Not a lot of people talk about that.
Nobody does, right? They just like, good luck, you know?
Yeah.
And as I said, I'm a nervous person. Just good luck and Godspeed does not calm me down. Like, I need a strategy. I need some kind of tool. And for me, you know, having a really well-structured talk, well, we all need that if we want to leave with clients.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what happens is you kind of give a nice talk that people will compliment you on and they'll say, that was lovely, you know, like so nice to meet you. But they don't hire you.
No.
So the strategy helps you convert interested people into clients and leads. And the memory strategy helps you relax and be confident that, look, if all else falls apart, I know the key things that I need to cover in this talk and I will come out alive.
Which is
and
good,
you
actually.
Will. And then you want to do it again because it's so much fun.
Yeah, I've heard you and I see that you are very energetic and charismatic and enthusiastic. You're one of the most enthusiastic speakers I've ever heard.
Well, really? You know why? Because I have low attention span. So if I'm in the audience and you're just like doling out information at me in a monotone voice, like I'm done. So I don't think that anybody, if you're speaking to grow your business, you know, you don't need to wear crazy costumes and put on a clown nose or learn gymnastics or something crazy, you know, to entertain your audiences. But and, you know, you can look for ways to make it interesting for people so that they will. And it's really not that hard because the average person puts no thought into this, like especially in your local market. The local you know, dry cleaner or whoever he is in your chamber of commerce has put no thought into what he's going to say when it's his turn to stand up at the networking meeting mm-hmm. or the business association. So if you even put a tiny bit of effort into this, you can get great results. And that's why I went from being like nobody to really being considered one of the best speakers in Portland, literally within the first year of even trying to give a speech mm-hmm. because I was actually putting some effort into it.
Exactly. You know? Well,
it's not that hard to shine.
You were putting even more effort than the average people were putting.
Yes.
So it was a way to stand out and people saw that.
Yeah. And when you make it interesting, you know, Seth Godin, I had the pleasure of hearing him speak at a conference this year. And he said, in today's world, if you're not willing to be interesting, we're not willing to listen. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to stand up and be like, amen, you know, because the times are different. It's not like when we were kids or when I was a kid, I'm probably much older than you. You know, there was like literally when I was really little, there was what, like 3 or 4 TV stations and maybe the same number of radio stations. And that's it. Right. Yeah. You think about now we're inundated. Facebook, Twitter, there's all kinds of things I don't even know how to use yet. You know, Snapchat and this and that and Instagram. We've got computers, we've got iPods, we've got laptops, we've got Kindles, we've got cell phones. And I could literally go on and on and on. And all of that is training people to have a shorter attention span. Mm-hmm. And we have exposure to more and more messages. So you as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, you know, you need to get really good at talking about what you do in a way that can capture people's attention mm-hmm. so that they can hear your message.
Mm-hmm. During your journey, Kristen, actually, I can see that you've been working hard and fighting your way through where you are today.
Yeah.
So would you say that being a hustler or a hard worker could be some kind of a disadvantage for an entrepreneur?
A disadvantage? Yeah. No.
No, never.
No, I mean, well, I'll say a few things. Number one is actually the people that I see fail in business are people who don't really want to do the work. They want magic. You know, yes. They want, give me your speaking formula, but I'm not going to actually go step on the stage and do it. You know what I mean? Like they want some sort of magic potion, I think. And that doesn't work. Like everything or anything that you're going to do requires some work mm-hmm. and it requires some level of grit. In other words, we're all going to get mud on our face on this journey, whatever journey you're on towards whatever level of success, you're going to stumble. You're going to try to host a teleclass and nobody's going to show up.
Yes.
And then you're going to do it again and more people will show up. And then you're going to do it again, and then more people are going to show up. And then you're going to do it again, and no one's going to show up. Like, just stuff happens. You know, there's just no golden path to success. There's a lot of fun. There's a lot of wins you're going to experience. And you're going to have some stumbles. So the people that I see struggle are people who won't endure the stumbles. They stop at the very first little like, oh, I got some mud on my face. Mm. So people who will work hard and who will dig deep when it's required, I think have a great advantage. I am not the smartest girl you're going to meet, but I do not give up. Like when I want something, I'm like a dog on a bone. Yeah, I'm a go-getter. I am. So you don't need to be the smartest person. You don't need to be the fastest person, the skinniest person, the biggest person, whatever the thing is you have in your head. But you do need to have a drive and a passion. And then you need to get the right information that'll get you where you need to go. And then you need to implement it and make corrections along the way. And it's really that simple. But most people won't walk that path. Mm.
You said something that caught my attention. You said you might try to make your first speak and then have nobody registering.
Yeah.
I know that it's one of most entrepreneurs struggle or fear to organize their first speaking event or webinar or anything that has to do with them speaking and no one showing up.
Yeah. Yes.
What would be from your point of view the best way to avoid that or just to deal with it?
That's a great question. And I still live with that fear. Like I'm getting ready right now to host the Rise live event. Mm-hmm. So last year, which this year, it's October 16th through 18th in Phoenix. And last year was the first year I hosted it. And the minute that I said it out loud publicly, the very next thought was exactly what you're saying. What if nobody comes? Like, what if it's me, you know, and some curtains and my assistant, Marta, and my mom, you know, like it's this, it was terrifying. So the interesting thing is, and again, that we all know now that's my personality, that for me, that fear doesn't necessarily go away. I've just learned that you will do nothing if you give in to that fear. So that's number one, is feeling the feeling is okay, but giving into that feeling is probably a bad idea. So that's the mindset piece, is just kind of surrendering that you're going to have the feeling, but you're going to move forward anyway. So if you're going to move forward, let's give people some actual tips that would help them. And I have a few. So for speaking live, one key thing that I love to do is to not be the one filling the room. So the Rise Live event is pretty unique. It's the only time where I'm really the hostess, and you can come, and I'm inviting you to come play with me live for 3 days. Great. But pretty much every other speaking gig that I'm doing, and all the ones definitely that I did to grow my business, I stepped in front of rooms already gathered. Mm. So I was never trying to fill a room in Portland myself. I literally, every single speaking gig I gave when I got started, all the way up until I decided to host my own event, was me getting in front of a group already gathered, meaning go to someone else's conference and speak at their event. Go to a business association, go to a club, a networking group, a chamber. There are tons and tons, and we talk about this in the speaking webinar, there are tons of opportunities where you can get visible. A podcast, right? Being interviewed on somebody's podcast. Yeah. They already have the audience. So that is my number one tip, is start by not being the one gathering the audience. And while you go give those gigs, build your list of people that you can promote to later. So one of the things that we teach in the speaking webinar and that we teach at the Rise Live event is use your talks as lead generators. Yes, you're going to want to sell something, but also give something away for free, a digital product or a little PDF download that they can, you can email them. But if you give your audience something, what they would do is put down their name and email to get the gift. And now you start growing your list. And then you can actually market to those people and say, hey, come to my teleclass or webinar. But until then, just go speak to somebody else's group, because there are plenty of people who already have audiences that you could go talk to.
You would say that it's not, you don't necessarily have to sell something at the end of your speech.
Well, I would say you definitely do need to sell something. Oh. I'm just saying, also, I really say have two offers. So one is give something for free to everybody. So they give you their name and email and you give them a digital gift. And then the second thing is to definitely make a paid offer. And my one, you know, kind of getting started tip on that is just make that offer entry level. Don't make it like a 6-month coaching contract or consulting contract. Like, I just met you. You know what I mean? Like, whoa. And that's the mistake I see when people are getting started, which is interesting because sometimes people go really low and they sell something for like $27, and you can, but you're probably going to have a hard time paying your bills. And then other people go the other direction and they're like, I tried to sell my $3,000 6-month coaching package and nobody bought. Well, look, at some point you might be at a level where you can close someone off of an hour talk into a $3,000 program. But for the average person, who's the average speaker, and for the average audience member, is just too big of a leap. So start somewhere like $300 to $500 is a really good starting place. Even if it's $300, let them make two payments. That's a great starting place for most experts, coaches, and consultants. And for most audience members, two payments of like $147, it doesn't feel like a crazy investment. No. So even though they just met you, they're going to be excited to say yes. Let them enjoy your entry-level product. It could be a live workshop in your hometown, which is what I used to do. It could be a couple of audio trainings that you lead them through. But now they've gotten to know you, and now they're like digging on your content. They're like, this is cool. Then offer them the next level program. But you don't want to do that when you just met them, like, hi, nice to meet you. Buy my coaching package.
They won't buy it anyway.
Yeah, so entry level is a good starting place because you do want to walk out with money in hand.
Yeah, of course. Well, I can see that you use speaking as a great marketing weapon for you.
Yeah.
But do you use any other marketing strategies to help grow your business?
I absolutely do. Like, especially with the Rise Live event coming up, it's like I'm reaching into all the different bags and tricks because I stay home most of the time. Like right now, I am wearing sweats. Don't tell anybody.
Well, too late.
I have my Victoria's Secret sweats on and it's rainy out in Portland. So, you know, my son is 6 years old. He's in first grade. I don't want to live my life in a suit. They're living out of a suitcase going to speaking gig to speaking gig to speaking gig. Mm-hmm. So while I love it and it is truly the hub, the engine of my business, it's where I get my highest paying clients, my most loyal clients. And it also just invigorates me because it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. You need to have some stuff that's going to kind of connect your live speaking engagements. Like, what do you do in between? And for me, that's where I will do things like webinars. Like, we host the speaking webinar. And people can go to the speaking webinar, literally, if they want to check it out. But that's like a free webinar that I lead usually a couple times a month. And so that's one way that I can speak to people when I'm at home. We promote that to my list of contacts, but I also use Facebook advertising. That's another marketing tool that we've used for the Rise Live event and for webinars. It's a great way to really target your audience without having to invest a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And then podcasts, you know, I do my own podcast and I love being a guest on other people's podcasts. So there's tons of other ways that we kind of weave together so that you can stay highly visible all year round.
And are there any of those strategies or any aspect of marketing that you still struggle with?
Oh, that is a good question. Let me ponder this. I think that there's plenty. I mean, I'm definitely not good at the technical stuff. So sometimes I see people like really get tricky with list segmentation or whatever, like the latest, like there was like the webinar jam, whatever. If it's something that's kind of newfangled and techie, I'm probably not doing it. I'm just going to be honest. I keep things pretty simple, but like your basic things like, video, webinars, teleclasses, and speaking, that I can do. But when we start getting outside of that realm into anything super techie, not really my forte. The other thing that I think that I've used but I'm not brilliant at is affiliate marketing. Mm-hmm. So like our speaking webinar, we've generated over six figures with that webinar. And we have over 100 members in the Start Me Up Club, which is kind of the next step for that program. And I've done that with no partners or affiliates. So that number is great. And I think that that's an area where here at Speak, Serve, Grow, we still have room to grow.
Would you have a book that you would suggest to the All-Star team, like on marketing or on business?
I'll give you two books. So one is a free ebook that's mine. It's called Closing the Room. And so you can get that literally at closingtheroom.com and it's free. And the other is a book called Pitch Anything. And it's by Oren Klaff, O-R-E-N-K-L-A-F-F. Okay. And Pitch Anything is I read it in a night and I don't ever read a book in a night. I'm not a fast reader. But it is really interesting. He talks about pitching to get investors to grow your company. Like he gets like millions and billions of dollars for the companies that he goes and pitches for. Mm-hmm. And while most people listening and myself cannot relate to that, he has amazing stories and some really cool information on how to really control a presentation and how to do it confidently. And I think for anybody who gives presentations one-on-one or to rooms big or small, it's a great read. So again, that's Pitch Anything. And my own ebook is called Closing the Room. And you can get that at closingtheroom.com. And that goes through the psychology of what it takes to turn a room of strangers into buyers. Mm-hmm. And then what are the literal steps of the close so that if you give a talk, you have a better understanding of how to get clients from it.
Thanks for those great references.
You got it.
Give me your personal definition for success, Kristen.
My personal definition of success is having financial freedom for you and your family so that you can turn around and pass that on to others.
Mm, I love that.
Thank you. I just really thought of it right now. But it's really like the philosophy and the foundation of everything I do is, you know, you have to take care of yourself and you give yourself a transformation first so that you can turn around and give it to other people. When I'm doing that, I feel healthy and I feel happy. I'm taking care of myself, my family, and my clients too. And that is sweet success.
It is. Yeah. Is there anything else that we have not covered that you feel like you want to share with us?
I think we've covered a ton. I mean, people can definitely go to Speak, Serve, Grow, and there's lots of resources on there. There's links to the Rise Live event. There's links to the speaking webinar, which is our free webinar training. So there's lots of additional stuff. So if someone wants to learn more, definitely go to Speak, Serve, Grow. But mostly I just want to thank you for having me as a guest.
Well, it was my pleasure. And actually, your energy is very contagious.
So, yay! Yay.
I was already energetic, but now it's even more.
Well, good. Well, I hope everyone listening goes out there and, you know, rocks a few talks in rooms big or small so that they can get more leads and clients and visibility, because that can really change your business.
They will do. Thank you.
Thank you.
This was another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. First of all, I want to thank all of you who took the time to leave a rating and review on iTunes. I really appreciate it. Actually, it motivates me to keep going, invite some more experts, some more people, and share great information for you to crush it with your marketing. And then I want to invite you to go on marketingtocrushyourcompetitors.com to learn how to get more customers by applying this one strategy as a marketing weapon. So you go there right now, marketingtocrushyourcompetitors.com, and you get your bonus. So I'll talk to you soon, okay? Take care.